Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at World Pork Expo 2026 in Des Moines. My guest is Brian Humphreys, the CEO of the National Pork Producers Council. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Absolutely, Bruce. Thanks for being here.
As part of World Pork Expo, you highlighted the latest developments on two key issues important to all North American pork producers, Proposition 12 and feral swine eradication. First of all, little background, what is Prop 12 and why is it so important for pork producers in both Canada and the United States?
Yeah, this is a U.S.-based problem, but a world challenge. So in 2018, voters in California had an opportunity to vote on a ballot measure that was, I'll say, very vague. And at the end of it, rules and things were put in place. It passed, and rules were put in place that essentially governed what pork products can be sold into the state of California. And a number of challenges with this, Bruce, but it set arbitrary standards on how animals could be housed. It set arbitrary standards on which pork products qualified and which did not. And it created a massive disruption to our industry, yes. But more importantly, it ignored Article 1 of the Constitution, because what California is doing at this present moment is regulating outside of their borders. So there's very little commercial production left in California, and yet they consume 12 to 13% of the U.S. pork supply. And so with that, they are essentially saying, okay, Iowa, if you want to be able to sell product into our state, you have to meet these standards. And yet Article 1 of the Constitution says that Congress shall regulate the commerce among the many states. And yet California is attempting to do it. Now, how does it impact the great folks in Canada? Canada has to abide by this as well. Mexico, other trading partners that bring pork products into the U.S. have to comply with this. A number of challenges, not only the constitutional challenge, but the challenges with our international trading partners and folks that have to comply with it. But just as importantly is the impact to the consumers. We've seen massive price spikes on pork products in the state of California. Pork loins and ribs are up 20 to 30% over the rest of the country. And so this is a consumer issue. This is a constitutional issue. This is a state's rights issue. This is an international trade issue that we need to see fixed. And we're very thankful that our friend in the House of Representatives, Chairman G.T. Thompson, and Ashley Hinson, Congresswoman from right here in Iowa, have shepherded through a bill as part of the Farm Bill that would address this.
How does the Farm Bill address the situation, and how significant is that change?
Yeah, a couple of things. So in the Farm Bill, in the House version, it's called the Save Our Bacon Act, because this would literally save our bacon. And what it does is say that states cannot regulate outside their border. Oversimplification, but it says if the state of California wants to regulate producers within their own state, that is perfectly acceptable. If Iowa wants to regulate producers in their state, that's perfectly acceptable. What California and other states cannot do is say, in order to be able to sell your product into our state, you have to meet these arbitrary standards. And that is, again, what the founding fathers of this country were after when they wrote the Constitution. Now, to the next part of where does this go? Now that we've made it through the House of Representatives, the next step is the U.S. Senate, and we're in discussions with them right now as we navigate that as well.
How important is passage of the Farm Bill, considering this specific issue? And what are the implications?
Yeah. So the passage of the Farm Bill is incredibly important. Yes, to the U.S. pork industry, absolutely, because in the House version, there's a fix to Prop 12. There's language in there about NOMS labs, about the Beagle Brigade, that we have dogs at airports and shipping yards, ports of entry to the U.S. That sniff out products that shouldn't be coming in to protect the industries, not just the pork industry, but all industries. And then obviously feral swine eradication dollars and programs in there as well. And so in the Farm Bill, there are 12 titles. And for the U.S. pork industry, it's incredibly important. But Bruce, this is incredibly important for all of American agriculture and all of rural America. And we expect the Senate to take this up and to pass it and for it to get done this year, because American agriculture and rural America has waited long enough.
You touched on feral swine eradication. With regards to feral swine, how significant are the challenges posed by feral swine, and what are the factors there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And first, let me talk about what's in the Farm Bill and then the importance of it. Over the years, the feral swine population in this country has grown significantly, mainly across the South. And we've run into some significant challenges with that. And so years ago, included in a Farm Bill was a pilot program to look at a certain area and see if it was even possible to eradicate the feral swine from that area, and it proved itself. It was. And so now within this Farm Bill, within the House version, we have language in there to take that feral swine eradication program from a pilot program to a full program, and then funding adequate to supply that. And why is that important? Feral swine are a challenge not only for the livestock sector, absolutely, and the U.S. pork industry specifically, but they are a massive, they cause millions and millions of dollars worth of damage to residential neighborhoods, to fencing. They are a safety threat in certain communities. And so this is a real problem that needs to be addressed. And as we talk about things like New World screwworm, and we talk about pseudorabies, and we talk about foreign animal diseases of any kind, those are challenges that we could address now by eliminating the feral swine.
What's at stake on this specific issue?
A number of things. In addition to the health and well-being of the commercial production industry, as well as niche and show industries, part of our industry, but really this goes back to protecting consumers. It goes back to protecting residents of rural communities where these animals are, and it is a broader issue than just the U.S. pork industry. These animals will destroy crops. They'll destroy entire fields. They'll destroy landscaping of golf courses. They are a detriment to residential, to crop sectors, and to a number of things. So the what is that impact here is really rural America.
The first mandatory review of the USMCA begins officially July 1st. What's at stake for pork producers on both sides of the Canada-U.S. border on this issue?
Yeah, for our friends in Canada, CUSMA, for the U.S., USMCA. And so regardless how we look at it, it is a partnership between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. That for American agriculture, Canadian agriculture, and Mexican agriculture, and all of our consumers, has been absolutely outstanding. And it has been a huge benefit for Canadian producers who have sold live hogs into the United States, who have bought products from the United States, and the United States has bought from Canada. And same with our partners in Mexico, as we've been able to help supply product down there for their industry as well. As you talk about a review, these discussions are underway, and constant reminder of the importance of being engaged in the discussions with the governments as we go through this. But from a U.S. agriculture and specifically a pork industry standpoint, my counterpart from Canada and I were talking earlier that we appreciate and our industries appreciate how wonderful CUSMA or USMCA has been for all three, U.S., Canada, and Mexico, for the pork sectors. And we look forward to a clean and swifter review.
What level of support are you seeing across the U.S. and in other trading partner nations for continuation of the North American trade agreement?
Oh, a lot of support. Within agriculture, there's tremendous opportunity here. It's been an outstanding deal. We have there's been a number of letters signed by groups on both sides of the borders, our borders, all three countries, talking about the importance of USMCA and what it has done. And I think as we navigate through this, I think there's questions potentially in other sectors, and we understand that. But when we look at agriculture as a whole, and specifically livestock, we look forward to a swift review here.
As we move forward, how much room is there for optimism?
Oh, I'm always optimistic, Bruce. I think we work in the pork industry. We work in livestock. We work in agriculture. I don't think you can be in this business and not be a continual optimist. And so when we look at this agreement, I think there's plenty of room to be optimistic of what continuation of the great partnership we have within agriculture.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Just thank you for being here at World Pork Expo, and for your listeners that haven't had a chance to come down, this is an outstanding event, and we'd invite them in 2027.
And thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Our guest has been Brian Humphreys, the CEO of the National Pork Producers Council. At World Pork Expo 2026 in Des Moines, for Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.